The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, chapter number 29, text number 11 and 12. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on January 21st, 2007, in Lambasa, Fiji.
So today we're continuing this mini-series on devotional service in the Three Modes and Beyond. This is the final lecture in the mini-series. This is coming from the 3rd Canto, Chapter 29, Texts 11 and 12 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Madguna Shruti Matrena Mai Sarva Guhashaye Monogati Ravitschinna Yata Gangam Basom Budhau Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Yudhahritam Ahaituki avyavahita yabhakti purushottame. The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. Purport. The basic principle of this unadulterated pure devotional service is love of Godhead. Madguna Shruti Matrina means just after hearing about the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These qualities are called nirguna. The Supreme Lord is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. Therefore, He is attractive to the pure devotee. There is no need to practice meditation to attain such attraction. The pure devotee is already in the transcendental stage, and the affinity between him and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is natural and is compared to the Ganges water flowing towards the sea. The flow of the Ganges water cannot be stopped by any condition. Similarly, a pure devotee's attraction for the transcendental name, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord cannot be stopped by any material condition. The word avitschina, without interruptions, is very important in this connection. No material condition can stop the flow of the devotional service of a pure devotee. The word ahaitaki means without reason. A pure devotee does not render loving service to the Personality of Godhead for any cause or for any benefit, material or spiritual. This is the first symptom of unalloyed devotion, anyabhilashita shunyam. He has no desire to fulfill by rendering devotional service. Such devotional service is meant for the purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not for anyone else. Sometimes, pseudo-devotees show devotion to many demigods, thinking the forms of the demigods to be the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead's form. It is specifically mentioned herein, however, that bhakti, devotional service, is meant only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, Vishnu, or Krishna, and not for anyone else. Avyavahita means without hesitation. a pure devotee must engage in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day without cessation. His life is so molded that at every minute and every second, he engages in some sort of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another meaning of the word avyavahita is that the interest of the devotee and the interest of the Supreme Lord are on the same level. The devotee has no interest but to fulfill the transcendental desire of the Supreme Lord. Such spontaneous service under the Supreme Lord is transcendental and is never contaminated by the material modes of nature. These are the symptoms of pure devotional service, which is free from all contamination of material nature. Om Ajnana Timaram Dasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. This is a very, very nice definition of pure devotional service. As soon as there is any slight thing that reminds one of Krishna, the name of Krishna, the form of Krishna, anything that slightly reminds of Krishna, immediately the pure devotee's mind goes to that. It's a natural thing. It's not that in the beginning of devotional service, it's like rowing a boat upstream. You see, that's the neophyte condition. The natural flow is we want sense gratification. Eat, sleep, mate, and defend. We realize that's a suffering thing. So we try to put a stop to it. But in the beginning, it's a big endeavor. Like rowing a boat upstream against the current of the material nature. But here we read about the quality of the pure devotee. He's flowing downstream. You see? His mind is naturally flowing downstream, just as the Ganges flows towards the ocean, naturally. Just imagine if your mind was like the Ganges, flowing to the ocean of Krishna's lotus feet, naturally at every minute. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be sweet? Wouldn't that be absolutely ecstatic? Yeah. That's the goal. That's what we are working towards by engaging in these activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. That's why we take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, because he empowers us to do that, you see. So this is the symptom of pure devotional service. It's also described elsewhere in the Bhagavatam. What is that verse? Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo Bharaktir Anyatra Chai Shatraka Eka Kalaha Prapadyamanash Yatashnadashu Pushti Pushti Tushti Shudapayo Nagasam. Devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from all other things occur simultaneously for one who is engaged in devotional service, just as nourishment, eradication of hunger and satisfaction incur increasingly with each bite for one who is engaged in eating. Now, if you're very hungry and you get some prasadam, you see, doesn't that make you feel good when you're hungry and now it's time for prasadam? You become very satisfied, you get nourishment, and your hunger goes away. With each bite, you become more happy. more nourished, and the hunger goes away more and more and more and more, you see, by taking prasadam when you're hungry. So pure devotional service is like that. Instead of nourishment, eradication of hunger and satisfaction, in the case of pure devotional service, you get bhakti, you get love, natural spontaneous attraction for Krishna. And you get detachment from all material things. You're no longer attracted by illicit sex and meat eating, intoxication and gambling, profit, adoration and distinction. They don't appeal to you anymore. They become disgusting. Yadavadi mama cheta krishna pavaravinde nava nava rasa dama unyataranthu masit. In this way, Yadavadi mama cheta krishna pavaravinde. Ever since I've been engaged in the loving service of Sri Shivada and Krishna, deriving ever increasing pleasure in that service, if my mind thinks of some sense gratification, some sexual combination, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. So one who is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, they are no longer attracted by the material nature. You see, you don't have to have someone tell you that you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. One symptom is when there's a clash, you don't fall asleep. Sometimes we see people sitting going, you know, their class is going on and their eyes are like this and their head goes like this. So wake up. Those of you who are falling asleep, now wake up. You see. One symptom is that one is not attracted to sleep when there's an opportunity to hear about Krishna. That's a sign of advancing in Krishna consciousness. You see. And the third thing is that one has direct perception of the Lord. That's a very amazing concept, that you can directly experience Krishna. The pure devotee actually has direct contact with Krishna through every one of his senses. Through his eyes, he can see Krishna wherever he looks. When he's hearing things, he can experience Krishna through his ears, through his nose, through all of his senses. He is having direct contact with Krishna at every minute. That's an amazing concept. Direct experience of the Lord. Can you imagine having direct perception of God at every minute? You see? This is experienced by a pure devotee. So, you don't have to have someone tell you, Prabhu, you're making advancement. Or Mataji, you're making advancement. You see. When you're advancing in Krishna consciousness, you will know it. You will taste it. You will experience it. As soon as there is talk of Krishna, you immediately become alert. Oh, there is talk of Krishna. Let me hear. You see, become very attractive. There's some discussion going on about Krishna. You see. So these are the symptoms of pure devotional service. So we can judge how much we are lacking in pure devotional service and in what ways we are actually beginning to develop it. You see, every one of you, you have some development in pure devotional service, beginning stage. Otherwise, why are you here? Is someone paying you to come today? You see? Am I paying you $100 to sit in this class? You see? Is anyone paying you? You're here because you love Krishna. You have some love for Krishna. You're not getting paid to be here. You see. At least I don't think so. Are you paying anyone to be here? Oh, okay. I'm not being paid either. It costs me money to come on these preaching trips. I have to spend money to travel and preach. I have to spend money. Guru Dakshina I get is far less than what it cost me to come to Fiji. So I'm spending money because I love Krishna consciousness. I love to be with devotees. I love to talk about Krishna. I like to hear about Krishna. Now this Sankirtan movement is a wonderful thing. It's a delightful thing to be a member of this Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a delightful thing to associate with the devotees of Fiji, you see. So in this way, because we aren't paid, we're actually here because we love it, we understand there's some love of Krishna beginning to develop. Some pure bhakti, some degree of it is there. That's why we're here. Now we have to increase it. You can be 10% pure, 20% pure, 30% pure, 40%. We have to increase the degree of purity until it becomes 100%. You see, if I'm 40% purified, that means I'm 60% contaminated. If I'm 70% purified, I'm 30% contaminated. So we just have to keep moving forward. 30%, 31, 32, keep moving forward. How do you move forward? Pick up those beads every day. In the early morning hours, especially, you get more Shakti. Pick up the beads in the early morning before sunrise. There's much more Shakti when you can put all of your attention, not to the phone rings, somebody's talking, you're chanting one, you know, a couple of beads here, stirring the pot there. No. Get up early in the morning when you can put all of your energy into the chanting. Just go deep, deep, deep into the holy name. 16 rounds. By that focus on the Japa Mala in the early morning, you will make tremendous advancement. And then, if you will engage very nicely in service throughout the day, offering everything to Krishna. Whatever income you make, that should, every penny should be for Krishna. That I will spend every penny in a Krishna conscious way. My home, my family, everything should be completely and totally 100% offered in Krishna's service. You see? And then we will feel how the transcendental bliss is increasing more and more and more, and will become addicted like anything to everything related to Krishna. You see? That will come. We will lose the taste for all of the anartas, we'll develop taste, we'll develop addiction for everything related with Krishna. We simply have to mold our lives so that every moment, every second, we can be doing some sort of devotional service. This is what Prabhupada is telling us in this purport. Mold your life in such a way that 24 hours you're always connected with Krishna. You're never separated from it. Whether you're at school, whether you're at work, somehow see how to connect it all with Krishna. There was one student who was in great anxiety. This girl, she was dedicated every day, 16 rounds. But she had been at school all day, and she had an exam the next day, and she hadn't even started her rounds, and it was late at night. She had to write a paper, she had so many things. And she also had, and Japa was one of the things on the list. 16 rounds is one thing on the list. What should I do first? Well, the exam is pretty important. I have to make a good grade. The paper's pretty important. The rounds are important. She's bewildered. What to do? Finally she decided, I better do the rounds first. First thing, she went ahead and chanted 16 rounds, and then she realized, wow, by chanting the rounds, then she realized, I have to study for this exam for Krishna. I have to write this paper for Krishna. By chanting the japa, giving that the first priority, then everything else had meaning, because she stood that everything else was for Krishna. It wasn't for any other reason that she was doing anything else. And that way her mind became peaceful, because she put the chanting 16 rounds as the first priority. You see. So in this way, we have to prioritize our japa. The japa is not that I get up late in the morning, I go to work, you know, a few rounds here, a few rounds there. You know, it takes forever to chant rounds when we chant like that. But if you get up early in the morning and there's nothing else to do except dive deep into the holy name, the rounds go very nicely. They go much, you also finish them much faster than you would later in the day. So it's better time management and it's better quality japa. So rise early in the morning, at least an hour and a half before sunrise. By now that's around 4 a.m. Sunrise is around 5:30. So get up by 4 o'clock in the morning. Take your bath. Put on some tilak. Pick up those beads, everyone, and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The result will be you will become more and more attracted to the name. You will gradually become addicted to the name, where you can't live for a second without somehow remembering or connecting with Krishna. You see, and this is what Krishna consciousness is all about. It brings relief from all kinds of distress. It puts one into a state of great transcendental bliss. It's a condition of all auspiciousness where everything that you're doing is beneficial for yourself and beneficial for all living entities throughout the entire universe. What could be a more exciting and enlivening and fulfilling life than that? Where you're not only living for your own welfare, but you're living for the welfare of every single jiva throughout the whole universe by connecting with Krishna at every second. That is called a happy, fulfilled life. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is giving us. This is what the spiritual master who represents Srila Prabhupada is giving us. He is giving us the ability to live a life which is unlimitedly blissful, unlimitedly full of compassion and meaning and wisdom. You see, there is nothing like this Krishna consciousness movement anywhere throughout the whole universe. If we simply take it with full sincerity, with full enthusiasm, with full determination, we will have a happiness that is inconceivably wonderful. We will experience a happiness beyond anything we could ever conceive of in our wildest dreams of what happiness could be. You see, that is Krishna consciousness. That is pure devotional service. And that's why we should not do devotional service for any other reason except to please Krishna. We should kick out all other reasons for doing devotional service and simply do it for one purpose and one purpose only, to please my guru and to please Krishna. That's all. Make that the only reason for doing devotional service. That is pure devotional service. Anything short of that, you know what you're doing? You're cheating yourself, that's all. You're simply cheating yourself out of the unlimited happiness of pure bhakti. So don't do devotional service for any other reason. Do it simply to please your guru and to please Krishna. It's the same thing. You see, when you please Krishna, guru is satisfied. When you please guru, Krishna is satisfied. You have to go through guru. You can't go directly to Krishna. If you say, well, Krishna, I just want to come directly to you. I decided to bypass my spiritual master. He says, get out of here. I don't know you. I only accept people who come through the medium of guru. Those I accept as my devotees. What did he tell Arjuna in the Adi Purana? Those who claim to be my devotee, they are not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, how much you're dedicated to your guru, that's how much you're dedicated to Krishna. Not one fraction more. You cannot bypass the spiritual master in any way. It is only by his grace, only by his mercy, that you can enter into that wonderful state of consciousness known as Krishna consciousness. So, does anyone have some questions? Yes. Loudly, speak loudly.
Spiritual master has thousands of disciples.
Yes.
And the spiritual master is not paid by them, and yet he does the service to them.
Yes.
So, it's intimate, it's only a personal bliss that both of them are receiving on the same token.
Yes, the spiritual master doesn't get a salary, guru salary, like a CEO. It's his labor of love. Just like the mother, she's taking care of the baby, pay the mother a paycheck for being a mother? No. So guru doesn't receive a paycheck. I think I'll become a guru because, you know, I can get a big salary. No. Guru has taken up that service on the order of his guru. And he very happily accepts that service because he feels great compassion for the suffering souls of this Kali Yuga. He cannot stand, being a purely Krishna conscious person, he cannot stand to see how people are suffering in the cycle of birth and death. So when his spiritual master orders him to preach, he takes great joy and happiness that now I have been unlimitedly blessed by my guru, that he has told me that I must preach. I must become a guru and preach to save these people. he takes it with great happiness. And that because his pay is his guru's satisfaction. That is his paycheck, you see. To know that my spiritual master is pleased with me for taking up this service of acting as guru, that this pleases my guru, that is the pay, you see. That is the ultimate reward. If you can please your spiritual master, that is greater than any payment that you can receive. Even if you were offered the entire treasury of Kuvera, that would be nothing compared to pleasing your spiritual master. So, yes, the spiritual master feels great happiness and satisfaction to bless the suffering souls with Krishna consciousness. There is no greater happiness because this relieves Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his anxiety. They are his children ultimately. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself in his mood of unlimited compassion. So these wavered souls who have left the spiritual world, it is causing great anxiety to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he sees that his devotee is taking up this work of bringing back, reconnecting the lost souls with him, this relieves him of, greatly relieves him of his burden of transcendental anxiety. And he blesses unlimitedly that devotee who takes up preaching work. So guru means that person who's fully absorbed himself 24 hours a day in preaching. He has nothing else to do except to live for the deliverance of the fallen souls of this planet. So Lord Chaitanya bestows unlimited mercy on such a person. So the pay is unlimited. The rewards are unlimited for one who fully embraces the Krishna consciousness spreading throughout the entire universe.
Disciple is not even paid by spiritual master. Rather, the disciple pays the spiritual master. So the relation is it a transcendental bliss?
The relation is transcendental bliss. The disciple gives service to the spiritual master, but whatever he gives the spiritual master is only by his grace. The ability the disciple has to serve is only by the grace of his spiritual master. So the disciple has a great debt to his spiritual master. The spiritual master has saved him. Now he has to offer some service in return. However, he can only serve Guru by the mercy of Guru. So the more he serves, the more he's getting the mercy to be able to serve. Therefore, he's going deeper and deeper into debt. And he can never pay back that debt. And the more he goes on serving Guru, the more he becomes indebted to Guru. Because Guru keeps showering unlimited mercy. So he's hopelessly in debt, and all he can do is keep trying to pay it back. And the more he tries to pay it back, the more he goes deeper and deeper into debt. But that's all right, because that just makes him feel more and more and more and more and more and more dependent on the mercy of his guru. That feeling of being dependent on the mercy of one's guru goes on increasing eternally, without limit. It's not that you reach a certain point, it doesn't grow anymore. The feeling of being dependent on the mercy of your spiritual master increases unlimitedly for all of eternity. It never has any stop. So the disciple, he is paying guru, but he's paying the guru with the guru's money. You understand? Whatever he's paying Guru, whatever loving service he's given, it's actually all on loan to him from Guru. So the disciple just becomes more and more and more in debt. He can't ever get out of debt. He's trapped. He can never escape. He's totally entangled in the loving mercy of his Guru. He can never escape.
I was reading Bhakti, Hari Bhakti Vilas. And it's very nicely described about Guru. Guru and Diksha Guru. Mm-hmm. And in Hare Krishna, we all should be represented as Shiksha Guru. And the Shiksha Guru actually highlights about the external characteristics of Krishna, and the Diksha Guru highlights the internal characteristics of Krishna.
Hmm.
So they are both important. They play the
Well, actually, the Prabhupada said, "I am Siksha and Diksha Guru both." So, Diksha means the one who gives the initiation. But he also gives so many instructions also, doesn't he? Did your guru only give you Diksha and nothing else? No, he's given you so much Siksha. I've seen that letter on the wall. He has given you so much Siksha, isn't it? So guru means he gives Diksha and he gives Siksha. Actually, what is Diksha? Diksha is simply a Siksha contract. The actual function of guru is to give siksha to the disciple, and the disciple follows the siksha. And then the diksha means it is a formal contract that I will always take your siksha and I'll always obey your siksha. Actually, that is diksha. Diksha is actually an eternal siksha contract. I will eternally accept and follow your instructions. So the Diksha and Siksha, they're simply two aspects of the same guru-disciple relationship. The formal agreement between the guru and the disciple, that is the Diksha. And the ongoing relationship, that is Siksha. But it is such a deep and a wonderful thing, it can be understood in many different ways. So it's nice what you're saying. There's no limit to how deep you can go into the guru-disciple relationship in its diksha and siksha aspects and analyze it deeper and deeper and deeper. It becomes more beautiful, more profound, more wonderful the more you go into it. So that's nice, you're studying these different ways of analyzing according to our shastras, our Goswamis have written. It's very nice you're studying like that. Any other questions? One o'clock. Any other question? When is the aarti time? 12:45? Alright. So, the Vishanam we have to wait till later because they're aarti. I'll have to distribute the Mahavishad, the last Mahavishad, a later time. So, we thank you all very much for coming today and participating in this Hare Krishna movement. This is the greatest movement in the whole world, and continue in this way, expanding Krishna consciousness more and more within your heart and here in the hearts and souls of the citizens of the Lambasa area, and your lives will become absolutely glorious, unlimitedly. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.